All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. As Dr. Son, oh, actually, you didn't mention, but I'm a graduate of the Population Health Doctoral Program at UW. And during my...
We'll hold that against you.
Okay. Thank you. During my time at Madison, I worked really closely with Pat, June, Dr. Catlin, Annie Rubal, and lots of other great people on the rankings, and my dissertation focused on methodological improvements to the rankings. My research had three aims, the primary one being to generate empirical-based estimates of health outcome ranks, which would allow us to assess how precise the rankings are. The second aim, which I'm focusing on today, is how can we increase the precision of those ranks using longitudinal or joint outcomes models. And so today, I'll give you a little information about aim one, but my focus is aim two, so that value added from using time series and joint outcomes models. And so since time is short, I'll jump right in. The obligatory disclosure slide, nothing to report. So as Pat has already discussed in his really comprehensive overview of the rankings, the county health rankings report more than 25 health-related measures in two categories for all or nearly all U.S. counties. Those two categories are health outcomes and health factors or determinants. So within health factors, there's more than 20 measures, but the health outcomes measures, as Pat mentioned, are premature mortality, years of potential life loss before the age of 75, the percent reporting fair or poor health, average physically unhealthy days per month, and average mentally unhealthy days per month, and lastly, percent of live births with low birth weight. In general, the individual measures themselves are not ranked, but the rankings calculate composite scores for health outcomes and health factors, as well as composite scores for subcategories, such as mortality and morbidity, and these scores are ranked. So we made this decision for a number of reasons. The most salient ones are we don't want users to get fixated on a single measure, but consider their county's performance in a holistic way. We also didn't feel confident ranking individual measures, as Pat mentioned, because of very high variance for many of them. The one exception to not ranking individual measures is the premature mortality rank, and I do use that measure frequently in this presentation, so I'm going to give you a quick background on what that measure is and how I approach modeling it. So if you're not familiar with YPLL, it's a composite measure based on age at death. So each death receives a weight based on the years of life lost. So a death at age 5 represents 70 years lost, whereas a death at age 70 represents 5 years lost. Deaths occurring over age 75 receive no weight. That's not even there right now. And the weighted deaths are age-adjusted summed and represented as a rate of years of potential life lost per 100,000 population. Unfortunately, the YPL measures the rankings report were calculated for us. So to do the modeling, I had to download data mortality rates for 9 age groups. To calculate the Bayes estimates of YPLL. So there's 9 models going into a YPLL estimate, essentially, just so you have that background. So issues with the rankings. Pat brought up some of this. Small areas have a high variance. According to National Center for Health Statistics, 65% of all U.S. counties are classified as rural, so very small populations. Another problem with small populations is that some publicly available data are censored when there are too few events. So, for example, vital statistics data were censored if there were 5 or fewer events, like 5 or fewer deaths or births. And BRFIS estimates are censored if the denominator is less than 50. So, now while the variance around composite scores is smaller than around individual measures, we still have the question, is how precise are these measures? Is a rank really representative of a county's performance? And how do we estimate and present rank uncertainty? So this is the basic model that I used, and this is what I used for aim one of my doctoral work, is just to create Bayes estimates of health outcomes ranks. And Bayes estimates are known to reduce variance for small area estimates, improve imputation for missing data, and it also allows for the calculation of credible intervals around the ranks, which can be useful in determining similarities or differences among counties. So I use cross-sectional data for all U.S. counties in this hierarchical model. It has state and county level random effects, and In its most basic form, there are no covariates. So you'll hear me call it the cross-sectional model or the empty model. In each case, after fitting a model, I drew 1,000 samples of the fixed and random effects from normal approximations to the posterior distributions, which I used to calculate county-specific estimates. Each draw was then ranked 1 to 3,141. A county's mean rank over the samples was then ranked to arrive at the final estimate. The posterior samples of ranks were also used to calculate those credible intervals I mentioned. So the advantages are it better captures measured variance, it results in fewer outliers and better imputation for missing data, and allows us to calculate those credible intervals. And it also facilitates, because I'm using all counties in all states, it facilitates cross-state comparisons, which there's a reason that we don't do it, but it can be a valuable information to have because you can do benchmarking at different geographic scales, such as region or, you know, national, regional, and then state. So how did we do? So this is with the cross-sectional or empty model, and this is for mortality, the YPLL measure. So an advantage of the approach, of course, is that you can look at different regional scales, but I'm going to look at Wisconsin, how the in-state Bayes ranks for mortality in my home state did. So in this map, the deep evergreen color indicates ranking in the bottom quartile or having a higher mortality rate. The pale yellow represents the top or the healthiest quartile. And the size of those red asterisks indicates the rank precision, so how likely a county is to rank in its assigned quartile over 1,000 samples. So the smallest one, let's see, I've not used the pointer. June, how do you use it? Is that right? Oh, thank you. So you see Dane County and then our population center of Milwaukee and its surrounding counties. We know that they rank in their assigned quartile with pretty good certainty. So over 87.5% of the time, they rank, Milwaukee ranks in the bottom quartile, Dane in the top, and then these suburban counties also in the top. But once we get up here, up in the northern tier of Wisconsin, these are rural communities, small populations. Less than half of the time, these rank in their assigned quartile. And a quartile in Wisconsin is not the height of precision anyway. There are 18 counties within a quartile. There are 72 counties in the state. So what can we do? Well, we can add more information to the models, which can be done in a variety of ways. First, we could include covariates that are predictive of our measure of interest, such as county-level demographics, age, race, ethnicity, poverty status, urbanicity, or other ones. And these can be used to inform county-level rates, so not controlling for those things, but informing what the rates are. Second, we can use time series data in our models to gain information over time. And then thirdly, we can borrow information across similar measures, so those measures that have similar determinants to inform estimates. So for example, the poor physical and poor mental health days, you could argue that those things are highly related, sort of move together, and so modeling them jointly might give you a bit more bang for your buck, so to speak. So I was able to test all approaches for mortality because I'm modeling 9 different age group specific mortality rates to calculate YPLL. I could model those together, and then I also, so that's the joint outcomes model, but then I also use longitudinal data to model mortality rates. And then I also jointly modeled the mental health days and poor physical health days. So just to give you a little sense of what are the additional parameters in the model, so we have, and I have the full model specification at the end of the presentation if you're interested. In the longitudinal model, there's a fixed effect slope for time and state and county specific random slopes and variances for time. The joint outcomes model is essentially the same. The measure is indicated by a fixed effect slope indicating the age group as a categorical variable, as well as state and county specific random slopes and variances for age group. And I had to stash this in here somewhere. So I was working on the first iteration of the rankings, and these were the data sources. So 2004 to 2006 is what was reported in the rankings in 2010, but I went back and got data from 2 more time periods. I feel like I had more data than that, actually. But And then 2002 to 2008 was used for the poor physical health days and poor mental health days. So now I'm actually going to show you national performance, very similar to some of the slides that Pat showed you. So this is the empty or cross-sectional model. And again, this is the choropleth maps show the county's national quartile performance in premature mortality. The certainty with which a county ranks in a specific quartile is represented by a color ramp. So the darker the color, the greater the saturation, the more certain we are of its performance or its ranking in that quartile. So purple is the top quartile, healthiest quartile, blue is upper middle, orange is lower middle, and then red is the lowest quartile, so least healthy. So in the saturation levels, the darkest is, they rank in that quartile at least 75% of the time. The middle is between 50 and 75% of the time. And the lightest saturation indicates that they rank in their assigned quartile less than 50% of the time. Here in the choropleth map, we see good precision in the upper Midwest, the Southeast, and the Northeast. Areas for which estimates are less precise are concentrated in plain states and in some of the western states. So here's the time series results, and you see, you know, a big jump in precision. Again, this isn't, there's still a lot of room here because these are quartiles, but you see a great improvement in the sort of central, sort of the mid-plain states and along the west coast. So I had really good and great hopes for the joint outcomes model, and it's really actually markedly less precise than the cross-sectional model. So I'm going to address a little bit why that we might see this degradation in rank performance using a joint outcomes model. But we can look at another example, and so we'll take a look at unhealthy days. So fortunately, in this example, we see that jointly modeling poor mental and poor physical health days does improve rank precision, not for physical health days, actually. It's pretty much the same. So no degradation of rank performance, but no real improvement. So here's the cross-sectional and the joint outcomes. And then here's the poor mental health days, the empty model. And it's not as marked as the premature mortality improvement with time series data, but you still see some improvement here with poor mental health days. And so here's kind of a comparison of the differences. So for example, this confirms that mortality had the worst precision with the joint outcomes model, with 47% ranking with high precision, using precision fairly broadly, whereas it did the best with the time series data. In poor physical health days, there's not much of a difference. It's right around, you know, 37-39%. And then poor mental health days, you see a bit of a bump from about 45-50% of the counties rank with high precision. So just to return to our Wisconsin example with premature mortality. So this was our cross-sectional model. You see the top tier not doing so well. The population centers also of Appleton and Green Bay, also very precise. But then here's our time series. It's definitely an improvement. You see a lot more counties with smaller variances. And then joint outcomes is, again, doesn't perform very well. So here's a comparison, again, with a longitudinal model. Nearly a third of the counties rank with high certainty. And I set the bar a little higher here. So it's with 87.5% of the time or more, they rank in their assigned quartile. Whereas it's the opposite for the joint outcomes model. So there's actually almost like a total flip in precision. You see a really maximized in time series and not so great in joint outcomes. So I'll talk a little bit about why this is and kind of what we can do with this information. So we saw improvements with some models, namely the longitudinal model for premature mortality and the joint outcomes model for mental health. However, poor physical health days saw no real improvement, but no degradation. And we saw a marked decline in rank precision with mortality using a joint outcomes approach. So you'll recall that YPLL is a composite measure of 9 specific mortality rates. And some of these age groups are highly variable, have high variability, excuse me, in death rates, whereas others, and namely the oldest age group, tend to be relatively consistent. By modeling those age groups together, the estimated variance for the older age groups was artificially inflated, reducing the certainty of the ranks. So it sort of indicates the serious importance of choosing your models wisely. Though in general, you'll find that in another example that I didn't present here, I jointly modeled two measures which had no similar sort of factor. So the self-reported health and low birth weight births. There's like no kind of reason a priori that we would think those would move together, and they don't seem to empirically. And when I modeled them together, there was no change. There was no degradation in the rank performance, but there was no improvement. This was kind of a unique case. Another limitation, though, of doing this approach is that though we can and do see benefits when we choose our models wisely, the downside is that the improvements tend to be concentrated among the top and bottom ranking counties and not the middle ranked counties. So we consistently see somewhat of this churning in the middle ranked counties, and that phenomenon turns out to be a function of ranking and not necessarily a problem of model specification. So conclusions, essentially, we can improve our point estimates and reduce rank intervals by using these approaches, again, making sure we make the right choices in terms of applying a longitudinal or pooled outcomes approach, or we could use both simultaneously. These improvements can be built upon by including all available data that can be used to inform our estimates. So time series data, the related outcomes, and other fixed effects like demographics and other predictive variables. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge some great people, Bridget Catlin, other members of my dissertation committee, Betty Chuding, Ron Gagnon, John Leahy, of course, Pat, and all of the fabulous people with the County Health Rankings team. I just want you to know we're infiltrating everywhere. I'm at NYU. Hopefully we'll look at some other people take over the country. And also I'd like to thank the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding this project over several years. So thank you.